Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi.
Hello.
For a two-person game, so no BP.
She'll be back.
Or will she?
Oh, bah, bah, bah.
She's spun off. She's gone solo. Today we're going to be playing Fugitive, designed by Tim Fowers of Burgle Bros, Paperback, Hardback, Now Boarding, and Walkstar. The artist is Ryan Goldsberry, who does all of Tim Fowers games, and it is published by Fowers Games. The description is, Fugitive is a two-player card game set in the world of Burgle Bros. One player is a fugitive trying to make it out of town while the other is being pursued by an unstoppable agent. The fugitive plays cards face down on the table, trying to work their way to a goal, while the agent must guess those cards to uncover them. If all the cards are face up, the fugitive is caught. The mechanics are hand management, memory, and secret unit deployment.
Yeah, which I don't think is an element we've... we might have played a game with it, but not on the podcast, I feel like.
Yeah. The box art is like a briefcase with a embossed fugitive.
Yeah, it looks like a leather briefcase or like a leather folder. It's one of those boxes too. I've seen the pictures where I think Fire in the Library kind of does it, where the top sort of opens up and it's got like a magnet clasp that keeps it closed.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like a liftoff box. So it makes it look more like a briefcase almost.
So would you pull this off a shelf?
Probably not. It looks, the box isn't very, there's nothing on the box that really stands out.
Yeah, the box is a little bland, but I've heard a lot about Tim Fowers games and we haven't played one before. So
yeah,
I would probably just grab it for that reason.
This also apparently came out at our first Gen Con, but I don't remember seeing it or hearing anything about it at that Gen Con. But I have heard of Tim Fowers before.
I actually met him at the last Gen Con and we went over the game. So I've been interested in his games and I feel like they're kind of up our alley. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of Paperback and I've heard of Walkstar. I've actually seen Walkstar. I just never played it. I mean, hopefully it's good. I stayed up real late watching The Fugitive with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones.
It was real hard to do this description without saying The Fugitive. yeah, hopefully Harrison Ford makes an appearance in this game.
Yeah, one can only hope. Yeah, what's your history of fugitives or ban hunts?
The year, 1910. The place, United States Penitentiary, Leavenworth.
Ooh.
A young Frank Grigware was serving a life sentence for robbing a mail train in Nebraska when he staged a daring escape. A young FBI began one of its first investigations. Leavenworth, the nation's first federal penitentiary, was under construction in Kansas on that April morning when Grigware and five other convicts made their escape, carving a piece of wood into the shape of a revolver to dupe the guards and busting through the prison gates in a hijacked locomotive used to haul supplies to the complex. My favorite part is he was in prison for hijacking a train and then he hijacked a train to escape.
Yeah.
Within hours, four of the fugitives were captured. A few days later, a fifth man was found. Only Grigware remained missing. For years, agents pursued numerous leads across the country and around the world. Grigware was reportedly spotted masquerading as everything from a Catholic priest to a traveling salesman. Catching the now fabled fugitive became something of a national obsession. In reality, Grigware had fled to Canada, eventually settling in Jasper, Alberta, under the name James Fahey. Fahey?
Naturally.
He began a new life, running a confectionery store, building homes, and becoming active in his church. In 1915, he moved to the small town of Spirit River and was elected mayor. Nearly a quarter century after his prison break, the mystery was finally solved. He was caught poaching in Canada, was fingerprinted by the local authorities, and his prints were sent to the Mounties, where a clerk matched him to a set sent by the FBI. But the story doesn't end there. The Canadian press suggested that Grigware was innocent of the original charges. In fact, President Wilson had commuted the charges against the others convicted. And many Canadians agreed. So they flooded Ottawa and Washington with petitions urging that Grigware be allowed to remain in Canada. In 1934, the U.S. dropped its extradition request, but never pardoned him. And Hoover's FBI continued to send out memos to monitor Grigware in case he tried to return, and that he would kill or be killed, despite the fact that he was over 70 and had never committed a violent crime. until finally they closed the case in 1965. He died in 1977 at the age of 91. Huh. That was like one of the first major FBI manhunt cases.
And they didn't even succeed.
Nope. but they take pride that it kind of set their reputation as being relentless and never stopping their pursuit, even when the guy was probably innocent and everybody liked him.
Yeah. I mean, in The Fugitive, the Tommy Lee Jones's character like never gives up, even when he like jumps off the dam. Except Tommy Lee Jones, he's a U.S. Marshal on that one and not a FBI agent.
Yeah. Which is interesting because you would assume maybe this is before the Marshals existed. I feel like they've been around.
What the difference is.
I feel like Marshals came from like way back.
Yeah, I feel like, well, maybe we're thinking Texas Marshals. Maybe. I know they've been around for a long time.
But you think if this guy escaped from prison, he would be chased by the Marshals because they're part of the justice branch, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I think the Marshals deal more with like, you know what? I don't actually know the difference between.
The Marshals are the enforcement arm of the courts, essentially. Whereas the FBI, is the enforcement of the Department of Justice, which is in the executive branch. That's why I assumed if you escape from jail, you know, we think of the marshals because it's escaping from the court system, essentially.
Right.
But that makes sense. I don't know. It's I'm sure all those crazy jurisdiction stuff, but
yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's Fugitives. At least one of them.
Cool.
So, does a game play like that? Do I get to hijack a train?
There's no train hijack. Oddly enough, there's a train that opens up the movie when he gets off the bus.
Yeah.
In trains. The Fugitive.
Trains are...
So apparently there has to be a train if you're...
A fugitive.
Going for a fugitive, yeah. Okay, so in this game, one player is going to take the role of the marshal, and they win if they are able to identify all of the fugitive's hideouts and arrest them. The other player is the fugitive, and they win if they are able to play the number 42 hideout and escape. So there are 42 cards in the deck. Technically, I think there's 43 because it starts at zero. So from zero to 42, and we're going to create three decks. One's going to have hideouts 4 to 14. Second one's going to have 15 to 28. And the last one's going to have 29 to 41. The fugitive is going to start with a hand of four cards. He's going to have 1 through 3 and card 42. He's then going to draw three cards from the lowest deck and two cards from the middle deck. And the fugitive is going to go first. So on their first turn, they're going to play one or two new hideouts. And then on subsequent turns, they can only play one. So the rules to placing the hideout can only be up to three places higher than your previously placed hideout. If you want to go further than that, you have to play additional cards. So the cards are going to have a number and that corresponds to the hideout. And the second thing they're going to have on it is footsteps. So you'll have one or two footsteps. And essentially that lets you sprint to the next one. So the example in the rule book is your highest hideout is hideout 3. And you want to go to 9. So that's 6 spaces away. So you can play 9. And then you have to play 2 additional cards with that 9 that sprints up to 3 spaces so that you can go the 6. All of these cards are going to get placed face down. So all the marshal is going to see is either a card, and then the marshal knows, okay, that card is at least or at most 3 cards higher than the first one. Or the marshal is going to see multiple face down cards, and he knows that, okay, they've sprinted to the location, and they will know, you know, one of them is the hideout, and then every card after that is a sprint. And the fugitive, if they want to, they can also pass. So essentially they're hanging out in their current hideout and they're trying to get more cards so they can sprint further later on. On the marshal's first turn, they're going to draw 2 cards from any deck. Essentially what the marshal is doing is he is denying the fugitive those hideouts, but then he also knows, or she, they also know that the fugitive can't be in those hideout locations because they have them. On subsequent turns, they're only going to draw a single card from the deck. The marshal then gets to make a guess to find a hideout or a series of hideouts. So the marshal can guess 2 ways. The marshal can either guess a single number, and if that hideout has been played, the fugitive has to reveal it. And if they sprinted to it, they also have to reveal the sprint cards as well. So the Marshall is going to know all the hideouts that are there. The Marshall can also guess multiple numbers. Now, the trick here is every number that the Marshall guesses has to be in the center. If any one of them is not in the center, the fugitive reveals nothing, even if some of the guesses were correct. So play will continue back and forth until the fugitive gets to play the number 42 card face up. And then the fugitive is then the winner. There's a last ditch effort for the marshal who can execute a manhunt.
Of course.
If the fugitive has played card 42, but the next highest hideout is hideout 29 or lower. And then what happens is the marshal gets to keep guessing single hideouts, just like previous, but every time that they are correct, they get to continue guessing. And as soon as they're wrong, they lose. Or if they're able to get the rest of all the hideouts, then they capture the fugitive and they win. And that's it. That's the whole thing.
Let's manhunt?
Somebody's got to search every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in that area. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kemble. Go get him.
We just finished a game of Fugitive. To recap, we played two games and we swapped roles. I was a fugitive for the first game and was able to get away from the manhunt and escape. When Kiwi was the fugitive, he got cocky and I caught him in the manhunt after struggling to guess any hideouts for the first dozen rounds. what was your strategies?
My strategy for the first one was as the marshal was to try and draw the higher cards to make it harder for you to get to the 42.
Yep.
And then as the fugitive, I was trying to trip you up and play cards that weren't necessary, which kind of in the middle screwed me a little bit. And then towards the end, I got cocky and was like, he'll never get there. I strung it out at the end and then you had drawn enough cards that you were able to deduce like where I was playing extra cards and be tricksy and discovered me.
Yeah. So as the fugitive, it was the first game. So it's just keeping it simple, trying to escape, get to 42 as fast as I could with what I had available. So it worked. But I think you were close. I think there's like one maybe that you missed. And then, the second game, I wasn't prepared for your insanity. Like the first half of the game, he was just playing all these like crazy cards and not going anywhere. And so I was guessing extra high. And then once I realized what he was doing, I had to go back and guess all those. But by that point, I knew that because in the first game, I was going to say I asked, hey, can I play extra shoes to go, I need to go one spot and I have a two shoe card. Can I use that? And you said, yeah, but like, you don't want to do it. The rule book says you can, but you don't want to do it too much because or else you'll run out of, cards or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I feel that. And I wasn't even going crazy. So then when you did it, I was like, well, he's screwed.
Yeah, which kind of screwed me in the middle because I didn't have enough cards to keep going and I didn't have cards that were close enough. So I had to pass a couple of times in order to get the cards I needed to keep going.
Exactly. So then I knew you were passing. So I was like, all right, I can figure this out. And then we'd ended up drawing so many of the cards that by the time I was in manhunt mode, I basically had narrowed it down to where you could go. And then you played just to be an extra jerk at the end, you're like, I'm going to play extra cards to get to 42 when I don't need to. But the result was he had three cards or four cards out and I had four open spots that I didn't know about. So I just guessed all four of those. So,
yeah, had I been smarter and less cocky, I should have played a single
extra card and then ended it. And then I would have had no idea. What'd you think of the theme?
So I thought that I felt like a fugitive trying to get away.
I felt like a very frustrated investigator hunting a lunatic.
Yeah, but I felt like the like everything just worked really well together. You know, when
it does,
when you have the high numbers and you know, like, okay, I know he's not in 40. Like it feels like, okay, I know he's not in 40 because I have a squad car posted outside his grandma's house, which is 40. And like, I know he's not going to show up there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've done all the investigating to know that, you know, you know, Dr. Kimball was last seen in the, in Cook County Hospital. And now I got to go, you know, now we're going to go investigate there. And now we find a bunch of people and we learn a bunch more things. And now we're going to Sykes's house and all this kind of other stuff. I felt like the drawing the cards and getting all that felt like you were doing the research in order to catch the fugitive.
It definitely evokes the feeling. Like when I was in the early ones and I was like, what is he doing? Like I could picture the fugitive when they're like, why would he be doing, why would he be going back to the hospital? He's on the run.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, yeah. It, and then as the marshal, it's like, oh, where could he be? I don't know. I thought it works really well.
Cause you know, the first one you guessed was 12, which was three hideouts in for me.
Yep.
And then like, as soon as you guessed it and I flipped it over and you were like, well, what the hell are these other ones? And I think I made the comment, like, this is my jumping off the dam moment.
Yeah. But yeah, and then as the future, like when I got away, I was like, and you're on the manhunt, that was like sweating. I was like, oh God, he's going to guess him. So theme works really well, I thought.
Yeah.
What did you think of the art?
It reminds me a little bit of a mix of, well, not a mix, I guess mostly the networks.
Yep.
Is what the art style reminds me of. And I enjoy the artwork from the networks. So I like the artwork. I'm not sure I looked at it a ton just because I was mostly going for footprints and numbers is what I was looking at.
Yeah.
But when you finally do like get down to look at them, like there's like super cool kind of, I think the fugitive is a, you know, a guy wearing like a tuxedo and the marshal is a woman in a, like a, you know, cool, like trench, like police officer-y trench coat. So like, I like the cool, like action-y, and I bet if we line them up,
they make a whole scene.
Tell a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
So we might be doing that
in a second. Yeah. I think it's really cool. I'm the same with you. I didn't find myself looking at it that much because I was thinking so much, but the style is really cool. For some reason, it makes me think of Archer, even though it's not the same style, but I've seen a couple that just made me think of it for some reason. I think it's cool. I don't know the name of that kind of cartoon style, but.
You know what? Samurai Jack.
Yeah, it's like that kind of
angular lines.
Right.
Yeah, like that's almost what it reminds
cartoon,
me of.
Cartoon, but it's very sharp corners and very, it's pretty cool looking. Like I said, I don't know that it plays into the game that much, but it's just a cool sort of accessory.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally have numbers on a card with, you know, plus one, plus two. I think the art really draws the theme in.
Yeah. Mechanics.
So what were the mechanics? Hand management. Yep, definitely. Yep. Memory.
For sure.
Realized we both sucked at that.
And secret unit.
And then secret unit deployment.
Which just means one player has like a secret.
Secret location. Yeah. The other person trying to find them. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think all of those worked very well. We already talked about it, right? The theme going into it. Like, I think memory is I would recommend that the fugitive have something to write down on, especially if you're going to play it on Tabletop Simulator. The way they have it set up in the rule book and, you know, the pictures that they have on Board Game Geek is, you know, we kind of followed the trail that they have here in the mod.
Yep.
But the actual get, you lay it out in a straight line. So you'd have one person sitting across from the table. So you would easily be able to flip up the card and know.
Even then, okay, though, I would recommend maybe jotting them down, because if you guess something and I was like, I'm not sure I remember, let me flip this one and look at it, you would know, oh, this one's close, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I would still recommend just jotting down your hideouts. And then that would just keep the secretiveness. Otherwise, if you're like us, like literally every turn, I think Kiwi played one and immediately goes, don't look, I gotta check.
Yes, I did. And that was like halfway through, like me writing them down. Like I'd been writing them down.
Yeah.
I just didn't write it down. And then it was like, crap.
Yep. Mechanically, I thought it worked great. Like I said, it's pretty simplistic. Place cards, remember them, and guess them. But yeah, just the whole tracking thing, like I had a whole system worked out on by the time I was halfway through on how I was tracking him down with his craziness. Yeah, it just works really well. Super easy to get. Easy to, like, you could pull this out in place when anyone, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that this is one of those games where the rules are wicked simple. but there's so much thought that has to go into, especially for the Marshall, you know, you saw it there at the beginning. I played a card where I didn't need a sprint card, but I played the sprint anyway.
Yeah. Which was smart. I think you just did it too much. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those like beautifully simple games.
Yes.
Whereas, I mean, we played a lot that are like, oh, here's a simple one page rule book. And you're like, it's so complicated still. Rules, I think we kind of already went over. Easy to learn. Seemed easy to teach.
Yeah. I did have to read the rule book a couple of times because I think just the way the wording, it probably could have used an editor maybe in how it labeled things out. One of the things I did, you know, before we played, not while we played it, I did look up, you know, the way the rule book kind of goes into it. It kind of seems like you just have to. And I think, Eric, you actually asked it when you were the marshal. What, you know, when I said, hey, you have to guess all of the numbers.
Oh, yeah. I thought I just had to catch you at your most recent one.
Yeah. And when I read the rule book, I was like, oh, okay. So he has, the marshal just has to guess where the fugitive currently is.
Yep.
No, the fugitive has to match all of them. And so I Googled it because the rules weren't very specific on what the answer was. In fact, a guy made a video on how to play and he played it with
just, you know,
guess the current hideout. And then there were like four people that were like, no, the rule book says all hideouts. And the guy was like, oh man, I totally missed that. Like, thanks.
I could see that. And I think it's one of those games also where you're like, am I allowed to do this? And because you kind of think maybe there's rules around it because it seems like cheating, but it's like, no, it's kind of, a lot of the deduction games have that where it's like, you know, am I allowed to screw with them this way? And it's like, because you feel like there should be rules, but since it's a deduction game, it's like, no, you know, mess with their minds, go nuts. Player interaction, I think we don't need to go into too much. It's all player interaction. It's a pure deduction. Figuring out what people are doing, figure out how to trick them. It's central to the game. And
yeah.
Would you play it again?
I might be trying to find this. I think this would be a great game for the Quiver.
Yep.
It 42 cards. That's it. I can laminate the Marshall sheet and put it in because I have all the laminate sheets and the markers with the roll and writes that are in there. Doesn't take up a lot of room. I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Short. I mean, we played two games in the span of 30 minutes.
Is there a board in the game itself?
There is a small board, but it is not to play on. It is literally just to put the stacks for 4 to 14, 15 to 28, 29 to 41.
Yeah, I mean, I'd absolutely play it again. This is one I would like to get to, even though I don't usually do a lot of small games because, you know, when I play with my friends, it's generally like a game night style.
Yeah.
And if I'm playing small games, they're usually with you and you have the whole Quiver. So, but this is one that I'm like, I would get this, I think. My only drawback is that it's a two player game.
Yeah.
So again, I don't play a lot of those because it's usually game nights for me, but I definitely want to try the other Tim Fowers games. Maybe some of the multiplayer ones.
Yeah. And I think, cause when BP and I went to the Labyrinth in DC. One of the guys working there, you know, he had asked us, hey, what kind of games do you like? And, you know, BP was like, hey, I love co-op games. And Burgle Brothers was actually one he recommended to us.
Yeah.
But he had said that it's better with three or more, with more players.
Right.
And since BP and I end up playing, you know, other than on the podcast or when one of us is visiting the other with you, like we tend to play more two-player games. So we tried to get a two-player game. So we ended up getting the Grizzled, which isn't a two-player game, but...
Well, it's good at two players.
Yeah, it was good.
How does this compare? Because this kind of reminds me of the one where you had the fox hunting game, Hound or whatever.
So I think the big difference is in that one, there isn't really the deduction. It's more a kind of chess-ish move piece because you had the different types of dogs and the hunter. They all move differently. And they all had different aspects on how they try to catch the fox. And you're trying to corner the fox into a position where it can't move without, you know, essentially it's like you're trying to checkmate the fox. So I think that's the big difference is it's more chess-like. And so the deduction really isn't there. I liked Fox and the Hound. If I'm going to play a two-player game, I think I would pick this over Fox and the Hound.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. That one's had sounded fun to me.
It was very fun, and I very much enjoyed it, and I would recommend it.
But yeah, just in terms of our style and just preference.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So that was Fugitive. I didn't kill my wife.
I don't care. If you have any recommendations for games you'd like to hear our impressions on, maybe more two-player games, more games where we can bring in Harrison Ford quotes, go ahead and send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games and get off my plane.
We're going to find out if you win or lose together, because I don't remember. 32 is the step to get there. Yeah, this is the trick one. Five.
No.
What are you doing? You have fake run cards.
Oh, maybe.
What are you doing? 42, but you have way too many cards for what you need here. I can't keep up with your wasteful inefficiencies.